Hi, everybody, and welcome to Catholic Answers Focus, where we get to spend some time with some of the smartest, wisest people in public life in the Catholic Church. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and this is my very first episode of Catholic Answers Focus. Thanks so much for being with us. And I have to say that I was just thrilled when Stacy Trascanos agreed to be my first guest, because we are living in a time where the power of science is just overwhelming in our lives in some ways. And it can be a power that can both heal and help our humanity, or wound maybe, and even attack our humanity. And that means we need people of faith, well-versed in science, who are able to humanize and clarify scientific issues for us. And Dr. Trascanos is exactly the person to do that, one of our best thinkers in that area, I would say. I'll tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Stacy Trascanos is a Catholic writer, scientist, teacher, and editor. She earned a bachelor's degree in science from East Texas State University and a doctorate in chemistry from Penn State University. But she also has a master's degree in dogmatic theology from Holy Apostles College and Seminary. She's the author of Science Was Born of Christianity, the teaching of Father Stanley L. Jocke. But she's also most recently the author of Particles of Faith, a Catholic guide to navigating science. I know that took me a while to get to it, but welcome, Dr. Stacy Trascanos.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
And your book is getting a lot of press. Do you feel that? Like this Particles of Faith book has really kind of touched a nerve, maybe?
I don't know. I think so, but I've sort of done it all from our little 100-year-old lodge out in the Adirondack Mountains, so I'm somewhat inoculated from all of that. But it seems like it's been going very well, yes.
I love the title, Particles of Faith. Was that you, or did some brilliant editor over at Ave Maria Press come up with that?
Totally the brilliant editors at Ave Maria Press. In fact, I wanted it to be These Thy Atoms, and when they told me it's going to be Particles of Faith, it honestly took me a whole week to realize that it rhymes with Articles of Faith. Like, I just couldn't even.
Well, you had your own title in mind, so maybe you were.
I couldn't let it go.
Yeah, I know. Okay, that's how you writers are. I know how you are. So let me just, you dedicate the book to your son, but you say you owe the book to Father Stanley L. Jocke. So who was he, and why do you owe the book to him?
Well, he had a strong influence on me. When my very first dogmatic theology class, like, I decided to study theology because I was a new Catholic and I was home with babies, like 3 or 4 toddlers and newborns. And I decided to pursue that online degree from home to give me something to do, to learn about our faith. In my very first class, the very first book I read was his book about the savior of science, how Christ was the savior of everything, but also science. And it just floored me. Like, I was sitting in bed with the newborn at the time, and it hit me so hard because he talks about how science was stillborn in other cultures and how it finally got its breath of life in a Christian culture because we had the right outlook that the world's created and that it had a beginning in time, and how that was critical to modern science rising to what it has become today. And it just like all of it coming together, like the childbirth analogies and the dogmatic theology, and he being a physicist and speaking so passionately. And I've been reading his work ever since. It's not easy, and it's taken me a lot of time to figure out the core message that he has and then to turn it around and put it in a way that I think resonates with young people very much today. And I very much hope to further his work and bring it into the next generation.
But that's a way of understanding science and the rise of modern science that is pretty much completely at odds with what maybe you would find in the popular culture. I'll just give you an example. You may not know of this television show, The Family Guy, but it's a cartoon show. And they did an episode one time where the Catholic Church never existed. And so it was like an alternate universe, and everything was so advanced. Like, science was so much farther advanced and technology was so much farther advanced because the Catholic Church had gotten out of the way of science. And that's really the popular view of the relationship of the church and of Christ himself to science, wouldn't you say?
It is. And it, you know, I think what made me so passionate about this is that it was never my view. Like, I never knew that. I never knew people thought that way, because even when I wasn't religious, I didn't experience the animosity towards Catholics, and I actually admired the ones that I knew as scientists, and that's part of what gave me the courage to face up to my own sins and repent and become Catholic. And then when I became Catholic, I was literally like, I was in my 30s and now I'm in my 40s, but I feel like doing cartwheels sometimes because I thought my science that I love so much finally makes sense. Like, I always had this yearning to know the biggest question, where it comes from. And it never made any sense to me. And then when I started hearing that there was this conflict, I really just wanted to tell people so badly, like, no, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. There is no conflict. Stop letting the know-it-alls intimidate you into denying what you already know. We pray the creed, and God made everything, and that means we should love science all the more. And so I didn't know it was like that.
That's really something to me. But maybe it has in the intervening years become more like that. Maybe that idea has been kind of, I don't know, drilled into people more and more as the years go by. It's not related to actual history, but people believe that it's the history. And so we get a work like yours. And I would say, if I could take a stab at one of the big ideas in your book, and you please tell me if, like, Sai, no, that is not one of the big ideas in my book. But it seems to me that in addition to kind of being a story of your conversion and a little piece of your conversion anyways, your intellectual conversion, it seems to me that part of what you're doing is putting science in context, a wider context than just the mechanics, you know, the studying of the mechanics of the universe. Maybe that's a crass way of saying it, but you're trying to put it in a more fully human context. Am I right about this? This is your desire to kind of contextualize science?
Yes, absolutely. I find I disagree with just about everybody talking about faith and science these days, because I always find myself wanting to tell people, go bigger, go bigger, go bigger. You're not backing up enough. When they talk about teleology or intelligent design, it's like, back up and go bigger. You're not seeing the full picture, because, you know, God is holding everything in existence. And when you study about electron configurations or quantum mechanics, you should see it all in the light of the faith instead of this somehow turned around vision where people ask whether science can prove there's God. That's just totally the wrong way to go about doing things. That's one of the main messages I had. And I didn't even realize I had that message till I started writing it. And that was the one thing I wanted to say to people, just go bigger, look bigger at the whole picture. Because if you stand back far enough and you look at history, and you look at what scientists does today, how scientists today have to view the world as a creation. Otherwise, science doesn't make any sense. Then you start to see how science and theology are two different disciplines, but they're part of the same truth. And you can see all of that when you get that bigger vision.
Well, you say in the book, without faith, science class is a rather meaningless exercise. What does that mean?
I have taken to teaching again while I've been home raising my kids, because they're in Colby Academy, which is it's a homeschool academy, but it's also, they have online programs now. And so while I'm helping with my kids at home, I've started teaching online high school classes, and it's just thrilling because I can tell those young kids what I just said, and they get it. They've been raised in the faith. They get it when I tell them that. When they're beating their head against the wall about physics equations or stoichiometry, I remind them, the reason we do this is because God made everything so ordered, and it helps them through it a little bit. But it doesn't make any, like, I did teach high school way back in the 90s before I went to graduate school, and I found myself comparing the two experiences, and you know, back then, if students said, why do I have to learn science? The best a teacher can come up with without God is, well, because it's awesome, or because you need to know, or you should be an informed citizen. And, you know, honestly, that falls flat, because the stuff we teach kids in high school is hard. But now with these Catholic students, I tell them it's the handiwork of God that you're studying, and you're studying it in a way that's going to give you a depth into God's handiwork that you never had before. It will change the way you see the world when you understand that everything's made of atoms out there. And it will change the way you think about what God has given us in this gift of a planet. And when I say that, even kids who are like, yeah, but I'm not going to, you know, Dr. T, I'm not going to be a scientist one day, but I really appreciate that you taught me how to put my chemistry glasses on and see things differently. They have a reason. And I don't know, I mean, if you take God out of the science class, then what have you got left? Well, because science is awesome. Why?
Yeah.
Because.
Because it just is. Yeah. I see your
no
point.
There's no reason for it.
But so it does seem to me, too, though, that the one of the other temptations of the modern age is one is to just separate science out and say it's its own thing. It's got nothing to do with faith or anything like this. It doesn't fit in any wider context. There it is. But the other seems to me to be a kind of over integration of science and faith. And I'll just throw out a name for you. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but Deepak Chopra and the like, who will kind of say, oh, but it's all the same thing, spirit and matter, and all of this is the same thing. And so I noticed Deepak Chopra, for example, will use, you know, quantum mechanics and talk about that. And it doesn't seem to have any relation to the actual science of quantum mechanics. And I notice you have a sentence here on page 103. Quantum mechanics cannot explain free will because the explanation for free will does not belong to physics. It seems to me you're trying, on the one hand, to put science in a context. But here, on the other hand, you're trying to say, but that doesn't mean that science is not a discrete discipline that's different from the other studies we might engage in.
Yes, and thank you so much for understanding that. That, I mean, when I was writing the book, I was really hoping that would come across. And if you understand it like that, then I got it across, and that means a lot to me. Thank you. That's exactly it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, so what would you say? Say you're on a panel with Dr. Chopra, and I could try to do his accent and all that, but it would be horrific, so I won't even try that. But you're on a panel with Dr. Chopra, and he says, you know, it's all the same. It's spirit, and quantum mechanics shows that even matter is spirit and all that. How do you, as both a scientist and a woman of faith, respond to that?
I would respond in the way that Father Yaki did, that we should never take the operational for the ontological, if you want to use big fancy words. We should, science is just studying what is there. Like we look at a tree and we can go study it. We look at a lake and we can go study it. We look at animals and the way they behave and we can go study it. And the notion that somehow it is spirit, that we're going outside of what is quantitative or qualitative about physical matter, the fact that we're going outside of that into metaphysics and philosophy and theology, it just means that the person doing it doesn't clearly understand what each discipline is. And it also harkens back to a pantheistic worldview, which if you give me enough time, and thanks to the work of Father Yaki as well, I can show exactly how a pantheistic worldview was never conducive to science. Because if you think the world is just eternally cycling and it's some organism that has, you know, that's going through cycles of birth and life, and that everything is sort of alive with spirit, well, you undermine the very basis of doing scientific research. You undermine the assumption that you can look at something objectively and measure laws of nature. So I would challenge him on that, but to get through those things, you have to, there's, you know, how it is with arguments like that, you have to go through it systematically and show the different points.
Yeah.
And he may disagree in the end because, you know, with any good argument, people can still say, no, I don't accept that.
Right.
But I think that voice needs to be out there. I think people need to be saying that. And I would question why he needs to do that. Like, why do you need to do that? Why do you have to make quantum mechanics spiritual? Like, there's some underlying reason for needing to do that, that isn't, oh, hey, I discovered this in the laboratory. It's something else, some need.
And well, maybe I would suggest one to you, but there's a way in which, at least from your writing, I'm getting this vision of science as having been fostered by the person of Christ himself, in that even with statements like, you know, know the truth and the truth will set you free, and these kinds of things, but also the fact that he is God who became man, that puts people in a kind of mindset about the world. Well, that means the material world isn't just evil or accidental. It's good. And if he would become one of us, but also Christ himself is always distinct from nature. He's not, as you said, just a pantheistic God. He's separate and distinct from nature. Nature is a gift that he made. So let me just suggest it to you, and you don't have to accept my idea here, but part of, I think, rejecting science as an actual legitimate study of the material world is a rejection of the distinction Christ himself is making, that the material world, while good and a gift, is not God.
Yes, that's exactly it. And that's what's so beautiful about it. That's what when these things started falling, I mean, I totally agree with you. And when this started falling into place, it's like it's not just a monotheism. It's not just there is a God and he created the world. It has to be incarnational and it has to be Trinitarian. All that you just explained right there is incarnation and Trinitarian. It has to be the Christian God. It has to be the incarnation where what you just said about nature is separate and created, and that God is here with us. And also Trinitarian. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that means the Logos, that Christ, the second person of the Trinity, was there too, creating and holding in creation. So there's a reason, there's a Logos to it, and also God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And so it without the incarnation and without that Trinitarian logic, then it falls apart, because then it just becomes like the Paley watchmaker God who just makes everything and winds it up and walks away.
Yeah.
It has to be the Christian theology, the deep Christian theology, the one and triune God and Christology that I studied in the theology degree. Like, it all fits together so well, and it has to be that way. That's one of the things, by the way, that my first book, Science Was Born of Christianity, those are the things that Father Yaki taught.
Yeah.
And in his lifetime, it was pretty rejected because I don't think people understood what he was trying to say.
Because of your work. I really do think that. I think your work is making it accessible to people. And I will tell folks, if you get this book, Particles of Faith, A Catholic Guide to Navigating Science, you get a book that's very rigorous and clear in its science, but very, very readable. And I think this may be your gift, Dr. Trisankos, that your gift is to maybe take these ideas that really are very difficult and make them, I don't know, relatable. So I found myself reading about quantum mechanics going, oh, I never understood that before. So I do think that's one of your gifts.
Yeah, I hope you're right, because that is what I'm passionate about. Like, it's like that joy, you know, when you're a Catholic and you get up on Christmas morning and you're like, every day is like this, man. Like, okay, we go through hard times in life, but still there's that deep joy of Christmas and Easter in our every day.
Yeah.
And I really want, with science, because I love science. I have loved science my whole life.
Like, yeah.
I wasn't going to give that up when I became a person of faith, but I want to tell everybody that it is so natural and so beautiful and so integrated in the right way, you know, not
right,
like you were pointing out, don't integrate it the wrong way, but it's so integrated in the right way. And I really do hope more people know that. And especially I hope young people know that, because I think once with my students, I tell them this stuff all the time. Like, I tell them when we go through Galileo, I tell them about Father Buridan and his impetus theory. I tell them all of the history there and how it was rooted in the Catholic Church. And I hope they're inoculated from the confusion. I hope when they get out in the world, if they hear somebody talking like you were saying about the Family Guy, that they'll just go, nope, that's nonsense, and just move on.
I know. I had the advantage of having read some of your work before. I was on the television, and I was like, whoa, this is exactly wrong. This is like exactly backwards. I know it's presented as a joke and all that, but it's a joke with meaning. They mean to communicate the idea that the Catholic Church is the enemy of science and has been, and it's a nonsense idea. And you've really helped me in that. But I'll say this, your book has kind of three parts. And so the beginning is about science in general. And I think in that part, you kind of defend the church and Christ himself as the context in which science happened. Modern science did. And then the next part is on physics, where you're kind of defending defending it from the kind of Deepak Chopra mentality. But I got to say, when I got the book, I went straight to the biology part, because I feel like the pressing question is evolution, right? Isn't that the isn't that the kind of the bug, you know, that's in the room? Like, how are we going to deal as Christians with evolution? And so how did you deal with it?
When I became Catholic, I had grown up thinking about evolution. Like, I was already comfortable with the idea that we evolved from atoms. Like, to me, that just makes sense. Our bodies are made of atoms. What else did they evolve from? Fairy dust? And so I was already really comfortable with the idea of evolution. And evolution then made, and when I say comfortable with it, I mean comfortable in the sense that I also know how much scientists know they don't know. Like, there's a lot of gaps in the knowledge, and scientists know that, and we don't have the full story of how life began physically, and we don't have the full story of how man first emerged. We don't have that. And so I was already comfortable thinking that way, and then with the Catholic faith, when I started reading the theological details about how they sorted out immediate fashioning and polygenism and monogenism and all of that, I was so grateful for those treasures. It's like, this is rigorous thinking. And, you know, first of all, the reason we care about our origin is because God made us. Of course, we want to know how bodies evolved over the years. And of course, we see it as God's handiwork, and we see God holding everything in existence. And so that frees you up to say, okay, how? What can we tell? What can we know? But it also keeps you humble in that whatever you roll your sleeves up and learn and try to figure out, you're still not going to know everything. You're never going to know everything. So, I mean, I think it's freeing in that respect that you can read the scientific literature on evolution and not freak out. Like, you know, this is what we know today. And, you know, I still have my faith firmly rooted in place, and it's not going to budge, but I'm interested to see what they're finding out. So it kind of changes the outlook.
And if we're too, I have to say, I have the sense that in American Christianity, there are many ways of approaching the evolution question, but in popular Christianity, it's very negative towards the ideas that are expressed in the theory of evolution, to the degree where people will say, you cannot believe the Bible and believe that biological life evolved or that human beings are involved in that process of evolution. It seems to me that's a counter witness to the gospel, because you're forcing people to choose, well, I can either believe what all the evidence is suggesting is real, or I can believe scripture.
Yeah. And it's really, it's not either one. I mean, one of the most troubling things I heard was a mother telling me, she's like, I grew up Catholic in Catholic schools. It was Adam and Eve and original sin. And then when I went to high school, it was evolution. And I was always taught it's either or, like, you have to either believe this or that. And she said, I'm not a scientist, and when I couldn't understand all the stuff going on in biology, she does the most reasonable thing she can do. She says, I'm not going to have any of it, because she doesn't want to put her faith at risk.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a good thing for a person to want to do, but it makes me kind of upset because nobody should have taught her that in the first place, that there is such a distinction, to the point that people are afraid they're putting their faith at risk just to see what evolutionary science has to say. And the Pontifical Academy of Sciences doesn't do that. They invite evolutionary biologists and anthropologists to come talk to them, even people who aren't Catholic, just because they want to hear what they're saying. And so this mother, her quandary was, what do I tell my children now? She was hearing me, and she's like, I get it. You're saying God made everything, even atoms, and bodies are made of atoms, so it's okay to study how they evolved. She's like, but I don't know what to tell my children. And if she didn't want to put her faith at risk, all the more so she didn't want to put her children's faith at risk. And so parents are really struggling with this. And that's just what I try to tell them, is first of all, it's okay. You know, pray the creed and mean it. And, you know, live your faith as strongly as you ever have, and keep striving for virtue and to getting to heaven. But it's okay to roll your sleeves up and see what the scientists are saying. It's okay to say you don't agree with some things. It's okay to say I'm not sure what that means.
Right.
You know, but don't be afraid of it. It's okay to learn about it.
You quote another scientist, and I'm sorry that I can't find it at the moment in your book, your wonderful book, Particles of Faith, A Catholic Guide to Navigating Science, available from Ave Maria Press. You do quote a scientist and a priest, and I've lost the quote here in front of me, but essentially to say that there's no way to understand the biological world other than in an evolutionary context. You can't understand modern biology without evolution, I guess, is essentially the quote. I'm paraphrasing.
I think I know where it is. Yeah, it's that quote that people hate.
And why?
It's kind of controversial. It's from, I'm looking, I won't spend too much time here. Okay. But yes, it says nothing makes sense except in the light of evolution. Is that the one?
That's the one, right, yeah. I didn't paraphrase very well, but yeah, that's the one, right?
Yeah, no, that's it. And it's because it's true. Here it is. It's Dr. Theodosius Dobzhansky, an Eastern Orthodox. He put it in a 1973 The American Biology Teacher. The title of it was actually Nothing in Biology Makes Sense Except in the Light of Evolution. And that has been a very controversial line. But it's the truth. Because, I mean, think about what evolution is. It's based on inheritance. It's based on offspring. And the way I explain it to people, and some people disagree with me saying this, but the point is, if you've ever seen a baby, you've seen a single step in evolution. Now, I don't mean that babies evolve from parents, but you know that the child is genetically like its parents, but genetically unique as well.
Right.
And because it's genetically unique, children will respond in slightly different ways to their environments, and they'll have their own genetics different from their parents. And so, you know, that's all evolution is over a long, long period of time. It's just that variation. It's based on the fact that children are not genetically identical to parents. And that, I mean, if you take away evolution, you take away reproduction, which was his point. It's all about reproduction.
So, but we can, I think so that comes in a broader point that you're, and as I said, your great talent is kind of contextualizing these things. It's, you can accept that. There's nothing in the intellectual, moral, religious, faith life of the church that says, no, you can't accept this. You can't accept modern biology because it's so intimately and intricately connected to this idea of evolution. There is no threat from one to the other.
Right. As long as you keep it in mind that biology, and that goes back to what we were saying about being a physical science, it's never going to fully explain humanity. It's never going to
right.
go to free will and the soul. So if you keep that in place, like, it's never going to fully explain humanity. We're always, and that's why I think Catholics have such a fuller logic, because we do have an explanation for free will and intellect. Those are powers of our soul, because we're made in the image and likeness of God. The atheists are still standing around scratching their heads saying, can I think or can I not think? And, you know, they're like, we have the answer, and we've moved on from that, and we're trying
right.
to practice prudence, fortitude, temperance, and justice. And,
right.
you know, so I think as long as you keep that clearly in mind, that it's okay to study it as a biological science. And it's also always keep in mind that science doesn't have the full answer, even right. within the physical realm. It still doesn't. There's still so much that's not known. So if you study it with that perspective, it's okay. We're in a moment in history. This is what we know now. They'll probably know more in 100 years.
Yeah.
But the church will still be standing strong.
But what about Adam and Eve? What about the person who says, yeah, but if you believe in all that evolution stuff, what about Adam and Eve?
That's where it comes down to it. That's where the kid, my daughter asked me yesterday, my fifth grader, she's like, so is the Garden of Eden still there? I was like, yeah, it's somewhere. But the Adam and Eve, because this is how I explain it to my children. So I'll preface it as that. I tell them, yes, Adam and Eve really existed. But evolution's never going to find them. Like, evolutionary science can only go so far back. First of all, it's not certain about every little detail. Second of all, it doesn't measure individuals and what they did in a single day or a single lifetime. So evolution never, ever will find whether they lived or not. I mean, if you found some fossil that genuinely came from Adam, how would you know? Like, we would never even know. So I tell them that, yeah, Adam and Eve existed. And we learn all the things about original sin and, you know, how man is to be the steward of the earth. And we learn all of that stuff. And I don't deny to them that they are real individuals, our real parents. And then when it comes to, well, how did, you know, evolutionary science point to that the human race could not have evolved from one single pair of humans, because it doesn't. That's with my teenager. I tell her that that's where we have to start talking about what we can know, what we cannot know. You know, where evolutionary science only goes so far. It can't get there. And this is what we know at this moment in time. And so your job as you grow up is to learn to clearly articulate the questions, the difficulties, and look for answers responsibly. So, yeah, you get to a point where the two just don't seem to match up. That's because we don't know everything. And that's where I leave it. And I don't think that's unsatisfying. I think that is satisfying, because that's how life is. You do have to learn to navigate those things that way.
Right. Exactly. But that's an adult posture. That's not the adult. Mm-hmm. It puts me in the mind of Pope Benedict saying we need more adult Christianity, a Christianity that's able to understand. I really don't know everything. I don't, and I can't. Not only don't I can't in this life. I have to.
Right.
But the essential thing is there's no disqualifying conflict anywhere here. God has given us these means to know, and that's a great sign of God's love for us, isn't it? That He's given us these means to know in different ways. Well. I wanted to have you on as my first guest. I hope it was tolerable to you. I particularly hope the fact that I pronounced your name like seven different ways in the course of one interview. Okay. It is. I'm going to try it one more time. Dr. Stacy Trosankos.
That's perfect.
Oh, yes, I did perfect. That's a good way to close. I will tell you this. Jennifer Fulweiler said that of your book, Particles of Faith, this is the perfect book for our time. I agree with her. I'm so grateful to you that you wrote it. We couldn't do it justice in the course of an interview, but I hope everyone will read it. Particles of Faith, A Catholic Guide to Navigating Science. Dr. Stacy Trosankos, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. It was an honor. Thank you.
And thank you very much to our listeners. Thanks for joining us here on Catholic Answers Focus. This is Cy Kellett, and we'll see you again next week.